From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello once more and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. It's good that you're tuning in, and I hope that you'll continue listening for the next 15 minutes as we bring to you the Word of the Lord. May I take just a moment to encourage more of our listeners to make contact with us. We're very grateful for those who have taken time to put pen to paper and drop us a line. But we'd like to hear from many more. If you've been blessed through listening in to the Word of God, then do write and let us know. Perhaps you've got some spiritual problem that you would like help with from the Word of God, then be certain to write to us. Or you may just want to have some good sound gospel literature. If that's the case, make your request known and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge and entirely without obligation. Our preacher today is the Reverend Ivan Foster, and he's continuing with his series on the Lord's Prayer and letting us hear an extract from another testimony tape.
Welcome to all our listeners. We start a new featured testimony. It is that of the late Pastor Willie Mullen. What a testimony he had. He was a down and out by the time he was 20 and living a life of crime. It was then that God met him and saved him, not in a mission hall or in a church, but in a field all on his own. I will play the first extract from his testimony, given some 40 years ago. If you would like a full copy of this tape, then you have only to write to us. Here's the first extract then from the testimony of the late Willie Mullen. After that, we will take up our study of the Lord's Prayer once again.
I'm sure that I'll shock some of you when I say that I'm the youngest one of a family of 17. There were only 17 of us, that's all. And I'm sure I'll shock you more when I say that there were 16 boys in our family and one girl. She had the time of her life looking after us. And of course, when I make the statement that I'm the youngest one of a family of 17, you're all old-fashioned enough to know that I could never at any time in my life have been a spoiled boy. You see, when there's one wee laddie in the family, well, grandmother will come round and spoil him, or granda will come round and spoil him. Or if there's one wee lass, well, she'll be spoiled. But when they cuddle 16 of them before you arrive, sort of left in the lurch, you know. It's a wonderful thing belonging to a family of 17. I don't know if you've ever seen 17 knives all dabbing at once at the 1/4 pound of butter. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's one thing, you know, when you get 16 big fellas around the table, you never grumble about your dinner. Because if you took time to grumble, the dinner would be over. So you just locked it up, you know. Thank God for it. My father, with many another gallant Ulster man, he laid his life down at the Battle of the Somme on the 1st of July, 1960. Of course, that left my mother with a great problem, didn't it? 1916 and 17 of her family and the war on. I needn't tell you that she didn't have to look round the corner for her troubles. British government, of course, didn't give her war pension until the war was well over, 1920 or thereabouts, before she got her pension, so that we had all the trouble of the day. I'd like to say a word about my mother just quickly. She was a little woman, just about 4 feet six or thereabouts. But she was a godly woman. You know, we were reared like this, that no matter where we were, we must be in at 10 o'clock at night. And we'd all come in through the door as 10 would chime. And then she would wait till the last one was in, and then she'd march up to the front and she would kneel on the tiles by the fire there. And we would all kneel together. And she would pray for us. She would always pray for each one right down the line. She didn't miss any. And then she would pray for me last, because I was youngest. And I can always remember this bit. I can remember her wavering old voice saying, "Lord, bless Willie. Someday save him. Make him a man of God."
That was Willie Mullen. And remember, we're offering the full tape of his testimony free to anyone who contacts us. Please do that. Now we're turning to Matthew and the chapter 6, and we're taking up again the subject of the best known words in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer. Last week we were considering sin as a debt. The first 12 of chapter 6 of Matthew is the verse that we're looking at, and there we read, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." Sin is a debt to God. Last week we were considering how that we owe much to God. Micah chapter 6 and the verse 8 clearly illustrates just what is our duty toward God. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." That is the sum of the law, our obligation, our legal obligation to God. We may well be an atheist. We may dismiss with laughter the idea that there is a God, but that does not alter the fact that there is a God. And we have an obligation as his creatures to render unto him that which has just been stated to you from Micah chapter 6 and the verse 8. We have to walk humbly with God. How many do it? Well, in truth, there are none who do it in and of themselves. But we go astray from the womb. From our first breath, we are rebels against God. And therefore, from that very moment, we begin to heap up debt. Day after day, we fail to render to God our obligations. And we cannot hope to escape that. We started to look at the fact that sin is a debt of immeasurable magnitude last week. Sin involves multiple debts. Men think of themselves as really not being too sinful, but that is not the truth. In Psalm 40 and the verse 12, David says, "Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me." Here's a man who has a clear sight of what his sin is. They are innumerable. Perhaps in calculating your sin, you have not taken into account all that there is to be taken into account when thinking of sin. In Proverbs chapter 24 and the verse 9, it reads, "The thought of foolishness is sin." Many people leave out of their calculations their thoughts. They will think of sin as an action, where in actual fact, sin is incurred just by a thought. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 28. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." When we read these words, what sin is promoted by television, by cinema, by the magazines that men and women and young people purchase by the billion. And men give no thought to this. No thought whatsoever that these thoughts that arise in their hearts are calculated by God to be sin and are recorded as such and incur debt to God. Are you getting the picture now? When we say that sin is a debt of immeasurable magnitude, we're not exaggerating. But it's not just thoughts, it's not just the things that we do, but do remember, it's the things we don't do that are also sins. When we neglect to do what God requires of us, that's a sin. That's a sin. We are told that sin is the transgression of the law, and the original phrase there is based upon the shooting of an arrow at a target. Sin is the missing of a target. Now, you know that were you to shoot at a target, there's two ways you can miss it. You can miss it by falling short, or you can miss it by going beyond it. And sin occurs not only when we go beyond what God says we do, but sin also occurs when we fail to come up to the mark that God has set. Sin involves multiple debts. Now, it's an undeniable debt. How many court cases have witnessed wrangles over whether or not a debt was paid? But there will be no such wrangle when God calls in his accounts. For his accounts are accurate, and his accounts are kept and kept infallibly. In Psalm 50, let me turn it up for you. Psalm 50 and the verse 21, we read these words: "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes." I must come to a close, but bear that little verse in mind. God says, "I will set them in order." God will set the sins of men in order, sins long forgotten, sins not even known to have taken place, for they were committed in ignorance, but God will set them all in order. Oh, what a thing it is to bear the burden of sin. We need forgiveness. It's to be only found in Christ. May you seek him for that forgiveness today. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.